the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Great wise words indeed. Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you?
Okay, Tov, Howard. Yeah, we've got a lot to get through this morning. I want to just steal a few moments, first of all, just to send a shout-out to my mom, who's having a very special birthday this weekend.
Happy birthday.
And also to cousin Talia, who is celebrating her bat mitzvah this weekend to coincide with Purim. And, of course, today is the Fast of Esther, which is one of those fasts which is kind of less stringent. Out of this, the lesser fast, this is one of the least of the lesser ones, if that makes any sense. But apparently it's to commemorate the 3 days of fasting that we read about in the Purim story that Esther and the Jews did before she approached the king on the issue of this plot to murder the Jews. Ironically, however, the 3 days of fasting didn't take place on this date at all. From what we understand, the 3 days took place actually over the beginning of Pesach. But because we don't fast on Pesach, and there was a special exception that Esther found would be appropriate for her to fast on Pesach, given the severity of the circumstances in which she found herself. Because we don't fast on Pesach, the fast has been moved to today, 1 month earlier, which also happens just to coincide with the day in which we, or the day before we celebrate Purim. So a meaningful fast to those people who are fasting today. And of course, great excitement over Purim. I started to feel it yesterday. We could see people out in the streets dressed up with their masks on. So there is definitely a sort of a Purim atmosphere finally that has hit. And I think we do need to celebrate.
Absolutely. To celebrate, but to celebrate in absolute safety and being with concern for others around. Let's just talk about this protest that was held in Tel Aviv yesterday against vaccine coercion. There was an interesting article in one of the South African publications this morning that Israel has agreed to share the names of the unvaccinated.
Yeah, so this is becoming the protest yesterday was really about a little bit too much involvement in private lives with regard to this vaccination and what some people see as a two-tier system being set up in Israel where people who have been vaccinated will be entitled to this so-called green passport or the green card and a program which then allows them to go to the gym and go to shul and go to the cinema and go to places, whereas people who have not been vaccinated are not allowed to do it. It's been very fascinating to watch social interactions on this issue of who has been vaccinated and who has not been. People don't want to share this information publicly, particularly those people who have not been vaccinated. They don't feel the need to want to share with everybody that they haven't been vaccinated. So I've seen quite a number of cases where people have said, you know, only those people who have been vaccinated will be allowed to participate in any particular program. For those who have not been vaccinated, you can let me know privately. Okay, so there seems to be a certain social stigma, reticence about people who have either not yet been vaccinated or who have decided not to be vaccinated. And I think that this is what this demonstration was all about. And you're right. I mean, there is quite a lot of controversy surrounding the Knesset bill that was introduced, which allows the municipalities, local municipalities, to get information about people who have not been vaccinated, supposedly in order to try to encourage them to become vaccinated. That's really the premise upon which this bill was passed through the Knesset. But of course, there are a lot of people saying this is way too much intrusion. Whether I want to be vaccinated or not is my business. But I suppose the next stage is if you decide not to be vaccinated for whatever reason, you have a different set of responsibilities that attach to you. And, you know, then we see in a related story, these people who have boarded flights from the US, who have actually forged entry permits because in order to get onto one of these emergency flights, which are repatriating Israelis back from the US and from other countries, you need to get a written entry permit, which is granted by the Ministerial Exceptions Committee. And apparently it's not that simple to get one of these entry permits. Israelis who were abroad for business purposes claim that it's taken in two or three applications over a period of two or three weeks in order to get permission, one of these written permits, to allow them to return home to their families. And so this indicates the extreme difficulty with which people are having to deal with in order to get these entry permits. And then you get families who forged entry permits and who were stopped at Ben Gurion Airport and will be apparently deported. Haredi families will be deported back to the U.S. because of the fact that they had forged effectively entry permits. And then another very, very harrowing story about 11 people who landed at Ben Gurion Airport on an El Al rescue flight from New York, who had actually tested positive for corona, even though they presented a negative test. So it seems as if that negative test may well be falsified. So we're getting to a situation now of new levels of ingenuity around what we're doing with the vaccinations, what we're doing with corona in general, how people are trying to get around the rules in order to get what they want out of life. But obviously, the whole issue of how far the government is allowed to intrude into our private lives regarding the issue of the vaccination is becoming very much a hot topic. And I know that, you know, some people would say, you know, we would wish to have that conversation. If only we were in that situation where we could have this conversation about who's vaccinated and who's not. But it has become a real issue. And unfortunately, in the protest yesterday, lots of unnecessary, comparisons being made, apartheid, one sign announced, which really is not. Oh. And some, you know, links to the Shoah, people being forced to do things against their will, which I think is really unnecessary and really not appropriate. But I think there is a conversation to be held about whether people should be strongly encouraged, even forced. I know, Howard, your views on this, but whether people should really be forced to be vaccinated or not.
Right, absolutely. And for anyone who doesn't know my view, they should by now. My view is hold them down and vaccinate them. One in each arm, just in case. And then we don't know. Then this no longer becomes a conversation even. The funny thing is, though, I did have a strange reaction to this announcement that they're trying out these electronic bracelets for people in quarantine.
Yes.
It did, that I have to say made me feel a little uncomfortable. I mean, I know that it's about, rather what they're saying is, okay, you don't want to go to a hotel, you can go home and wear a bracelet so that we know that you're there, but that made me feel maybe we're pushing this a little bit too far.
Yeah, I mean, what they were doing up until now is trying to track people using their phones, which of course is all fine and well
if
you carry your phone wherever you go. So we don't necessarily need to know that you're in the shower or in the bathroom, but if people leave their homes, obviously people can be quite sophisticated and they decided I'm not going to take my phone with me when I leave home. So the authorities might think I'm still at home by tracking my phone. And of course, the electronic bracelet very easily overcomes this particular weakness. But the problem is that people are not adhering to the rules, and there is a very strong attempt by the government to keep the various new variants out of Israel to try and really implement a very, very hard lockdown on the borders. And in order to do that, you have to make sure that those people who do come in through a very, very small little trickle that's being allowed through Ben Gurion Airport have very strong and stringent conditions attached to them, just in case they might have brought in one of these variants. And that's really the only way that this is going to be dealt with. And by the way, this is how countries like China have dealt with things. If you've gone into the details of how China has dealt with people who've come in through their borders, then, you know, you would think that this is a holiday camp, that this bracelet would be very welcome in comparison to some of the restrictions that they've put on people who've come in through their borders. So a strong closed border is really the answer. And bracelets, unfortunately, are just one of the things that one has to do in order to strongly close that border.
Yeah. I'd love to hear from our listeners, 34519 or 0618951019. How far is too far when it comes to this? Israel has banned sale of seafood from the Mediterranean following the oil spill. How long is this restriction going to be in place?
Well, the government has said indefinitely until further notice. 70 tons of tar has already been picked up off Israel's beaches following this terrible oil spill. And now no seafood which has been picked up on the Mediterranean is allowed to be sold in Israel at all. And I'm guessing it affects Gaza as well, where, you know, we know that the fishermen there are very active and like to go out and earn a living as well as bring food home. But this particular oil spill is really quite severe, and the ban that's been implemented by the Israeli government covers fish and all other marine life which has been sold, which gets sold for consumption in any way. So that's the end of all the seafood being sold, being fished from the Israeli coast, from the Mediterranean coast, and sold here. Very, very perplexing indeed, and very worrying. And we've got absolutely no idea how long this is going to last for. And various maps have been published to show the progress of the cleanup, which beaches are more severely affected than others. Also using this traffic light system, green, yellow, orange, red, which is where the pollution is very, very heavy, or the cleanup operation is yet to begin. Still a lot of work to do, but thousands of people have now volunteered, and the government has approved an extra budget of 45 million shekels to help the cleanup. But unfortunately, it's affecting people's livelihoods as well, and the ability to eat seafood, food that's fished because of the contamination from the oil spill.
Terrible indeed. Rene says there's a document called the Nuremberg Code. Maybe you should read it. Israel has signed it. Charles says Big Brother lives COVID. Clive says it is mentally sick. So those are some of your views around the vaccine process. Clive says, Jews doing it to Jews, you would have thought that we learned something from the Holocaust.
Yeah, that's exactly the sort of vision that they tried to present yesterday in that protest. I don't go along with that comparison in the least. I think that this is really about
a
health issue. But, I agree that there might be a moment where we've gone too far.
But that's very different to invoking the Holocaust and invoking apartheid and invoking. I think we have to be careful. We can agree with some of the things. We can disagree with some of them. No one is getting this whole COVID thing, the vaccine rollouts, the approach to vaccines. No country is going to get it perfectly right. There's just no chance. But it doesn't mean that everything that you disagree with is signs of Nazi Germany.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, Prime Minister Netanyahu has come out saying that he would like to open the entire Israeli economy by April. Clearly, some of this is electioneering, and maybe some of it is real. But the only way in which we're really going to clean things up internally is by getting people vaccinated and closing the borders. And if we can't succeed in doing that, then we have to deal with whatever comes next. And we know what that means. It's been very, very difficult over the last year. We don't want to have another 5,500 people dying of the disease unnecessarily, which is what we've had over the past year. Mm. And it doesn't mean that that's Nazi Germany. It certainly isn't.
Absolutely. Can we just talk about the gas pipeline that's to be built between Israel and Gaza?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of these stories where, you say, look, Bernie Sanders stands up and says, give vaccines to the Palestinians, Israel, that evil regime trying to discriminate against certain people, and that Israel owes this to the Palestinians. And then we have the story where this gas pipeline is to be built between Israel and Gaza in order to help bring gas to power Gaza's power plant, which we know has been very, very has been struggling to operate, and the electricity supply in Gaza has been backwards and forwards. I think that some of the power outages that you guys have experienced are a small fry in comparison to what's been going on in Gaza. But what we found here is that the EU and Qatar have agreed to finance the construction of a pipeline, and Israel is cooperating and is happy enough for the pipeline to be built. This apparently is going to cost something like $80 million, so or perhaps even a little bit more. That Qatar is putting in 60 million. The European Union is due to fund another 20 million euros in order to help lay this gas pipeline. And also there is talk about trying to upgrade the power plant itself in Gaza in order to bring a little bit more stability to the electricity supply. So I think that this is good news, and I don't think that there would be anybody, not in Israel or anywhere else around the world, who would think that this is a bad idea.
Mm, absolutely. And Anthony Reich, unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. We'll continue our conversation on Monday. I wish you and your family a Chag Purim Sameach. I hope you have a wonderful festive Purim that is both safe and enjoyable.
Thank you, and the same to you. Chag Purim Sameach to everybody, and Shabbat Shalom.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.